Good afternoon. We're going to try something a little different since a lot of people tell me that they can't see me behind a podium. And we have technology on the campus through the good graces of WSIU to have a makeshift teleprompter. So we're going to really try to do this in a very high-tech fashion. Before I start, I'd like to introduce several individuals in attendance today. The newest member of the SIU Board of Trustees, Joel Zemberski. The president of Southern Illinois University. The president of Southern Illinois University, Dr. Glenn Pichard. The president of John A. Logan College, Dr. Michael Dreith, who is also an SIU alum. The mayor of Carbondale and SIU staff member, Joel Fritzler. Carbondale City Council member, Don Monte. Thank you. And also, please join me in thanking our interpreter, Ken Huebner. I'd like to begin with just a bit of history. During my first State of the University address in 2010, I had the pleasure of announcing that our university's accreditation had been extended for a full 10 years. Another way of looking at that is that for an entire century, we have continued to deliver on our promises. As significant an accomplishment as that was, our accrediting agency, the Higher Learning Commission, said we still had work to do. The commission asked us for a budget update, and we passed with flying colors. The commission also told us it would conduct a focus visit last spring to assess our progress on strategic planning. The result was outstanding. Here's a sample from their report. SIU is undergoing transformational change that will position the university for greater success. It continued. The team was impressed with the rapid progress made by the institution in all areas, including strategic planning, finances, student success, enrollment management, research, marketing and branding, employee relations, and assessment. And this from the chair of the 2010 site visit team. I did peruse the report on SIU and am really impressed with all you have accomplished in the short 3 years. Clearly, SIU is a much better university. Let me repeat the key phrases. Transformational change, rapid progress made by the institution in all areas, a much better university. Colleagues, our work is never done. We should continually strive to accomplish more for our students, our communities, and our world. But I want to suggest to you that we have arrived at a far different place than we began. Our culture is different. We are stronger. We are positioned for the future. This is all thanks to your hard work. One of the branding statements is, "This is SIU." Let me amend that slightly for today. You are SIU. I want to congratulate you and thank you for the job well done. Please give yourselves and your colleagues a round of applause. Thank you. We come together today to celebrate a remarkable year of achievement that remind us that big things are always within reach. Today, I'd like to shine a light on our progress and underscore the indicators of our success in three key areas: our students, our academic and research programs, and our campus. Let's start with students. We enter this academic year celebrating the largest freshman class in 20 years. Our 2,571 new Salukis come from 30 states and 24 countries and have an ACT score a full point higher than a year ago. The class of 2017 includes 38 Chancellor Scholars and 250 University Excellence Scholars. That means we have successfully recruited two-thirds of the 422 students who visited campus for our scholarship weekend last January. I look forward to repeating this effort in January 2014 to introduce the next wave of high school achieving students to SIU. Overall, we awarded four-year academic scholarships to 750 freshmen this year, six times as many as the year before. Among this group, the average ACT is 27, with about half scoring between 24 and 27, and the other half between 28 and 35. My thanks to the financial aid staff and the scholarship committee for their great work. Our freshman class also reflects the great diversity of our institution. 29% of our new freshmen are African American, and 10% are Hispanic or Latino-Latina. 45% represent the first generation of their families to attend college. I appreciate the commitment of the staff of the Center for Inclusive Excellence in ensuring all of our students feel welcomed and supported. We're also celebrating the largest number of new international students in two decades. Our undergraduate and international enrollment increased by more than 20%, and total international grew more than 10%. These students represent 120 nations, and their presence enriches the educational experience for all of our students. Not on our official count are 269 international students studying in our Center for English as a Second Language. While they're not yet counted as students at SIU, we know from history that two-thirds of these students become official Salukis when they achieve language proficiency. The staff of the Center for International Education in CESEL are dedicated to growing our international enrollment and helping the students achieve their goals in a warm and welcoming environment at SIU. Eight of our colleges and the School of Law recorded increases in new students this fall. The level of student participation in our University Honors Program has nearly tripled over the last 3 years, and now more than 600 students are part of that program. I want to thank Director Lori Merrill Fink, Associate Director Zanetta Coleman, and Assistant Director Pam Gwaltney for their tireless efforts to make these incredible opportunities available to more students. I know they canceled appointments to get here because they've got so many students that they need to serve. In the graduate school, enrollment in our master's programs fell slightly, and our doctoral programs grew slightly. The staff in the graduate school is already focused on implementing necessary changes and application processing to address an increasingly competitive environment, and I know they will see great strides in the future. While we will never lose focus on strengthening our on-campus programs, we have built an impressive portfolio of online courses and programs. And thanks to the hard work of Director Gayla Stoner and the staff in distance education and off-campus programs, online enrollments are up 36% over last year, an incredible feat. SIU remains committed to our off-campus and military-based programs despite the negative effects of sequestration and other factors out of our control that have had on enrollments. I'm proud that our service to military and student veterans remains an essential part of the fabric of our university. In fact, we will soon announce yet another national honor for these efforts. Overall, our enrollment is down by 4.7%. The nearly 13% increase in freshmen couldn't make up declines in other areas. But there is a turning point in the not-so-distant future. Keep in mind that this year's freshman class is 15% larger than the incoming classes 3 years ago. In fact, this is the third straight year we have seen an increase relative to 2010, with this year being the largest. As the 2010 class graduates and another strong freshman class enters next fall, we'll start to see improvements in our overall enrollment figures. And for the first time in many years, off-campus enrollments declined, and declined dramatically by 356 students. What is important about this is that the decline in enrollment on the Carbondale campus was half that of fall of 2012 and not masked by growth off campus. We're focused on building enrollment, and we will do so. Recruitment is a responsibility we all share. And I want to thank faculty and staff in our colleges who contributed extra effort this year. There also are some other people who deserve special recognition for their hard work. I would like to ask members of the enrollment management and university communications teams to stand, those that are not on the road recruiting, and let us thank them for their tremendous effort. So please, enrollment management and communications. Good, there you go. Let me share with you a few details about the new recruitment strategies that have been put in place. We introduced SIU to high school sophomores, juniors, and seniors by mailing more than 1.6 million printed pieces during the last recruitment cycles. Often, SIU was the first university these students heard from, making us stand out in the crowded marketplace. We have simplified the explanation of financial support available to prospective students and their families through a redesigned brochure that clearly explains alternative tuition rates and opportunities for financial aid and academic scholarships. We distributed 60,000 view books and nearly 70,000 general information brochures to prospective students. We will continue to strategically advertise the university in key media and regions. These pieces give you a sneak preview of our fall advertising campaign. We have also expanded our outreach through social media, and we're advertising online and on the radio. To give you a sense of these efforts, let's listen to one of our radio spots from last year.
Just a few things you could be doing at Southern Illinois University Carbondale.
Studying at a top-tier research institution.
Winning Emmys before graduating.
Getting research opportunities as a junior.
As a sophomore.
Hello, as a freshman.
Receiving substantial financial aid.
Traveling abroad.
The chance to be another SIU
Earning the scholarship that made it all possible.
This is SIU. Don't miss your chance to be a part of this. Go now to siu.edu/apply.
Remember, these ads are directed to 17-year-olds. The goal of all this outreach is to draw students to our websites, open houses, and of course, to encourage them to consider SIU. In addition, we have strategies in place to reach individuals who influence student decisions and who can support the university in other ways. As a result, the number of applications has increased each year since 2010 to a record high of 14,107. This year, we have also made great strides in removing financial barriers to students by revamping our scholarship strategy and aggressively leveraging financial aid awards. We help students and families have a better understanding of the net cost of attendance. We offered aid to all students who filed a FAFSA and demonstrated financial need. And significantly, we communicated this information to our students earlier than we had in 10 years. We have totally redesigned our scholarship program by pledging to students and families that they have the opportunity to maintain the awards for all 4 years they are at SIU. This is another key factor in recruiting high-achieving students and boosting our retention rate in the years ahead. As you can see on the screen, of the 2,698 scholarships offered, 1,135 were accepted. However, they cover college costs through financial aid, scholarships, family funds, or student loans. It's important that students understand how to manage money so they can stay in school. A financial literacy task force chaired by Professor Charlie Leonard will help students better understand how to develop a spending and savings plan, how to enroll for the university's payment plan through the bursar's office, and more. Our hope is that the financial literacy program will make more students make good decisions that will allow them to persist at SIU. This leads me to a very important topic, retention. Our ability to retain students is increasingly important to our future state funding and to our long-term financial health. More importantly, it's also part of our mission to educate and graduate students. We took one step to improve our retention rates this year by becoming more selective. Using objective indicators of potential for academic success, we focused on admitting students who are well prepared for college and positioned to succeed at a major research university like SIU. Let me explain. We did not try to artificially see higher enrollment of students who were not historically retained. We also committed to a financial aid and scholarship model that supports students who wish to stay. In recent years, we have seen the unmet need of students who left SIU grow alarmingly to an average of $6,500 in fall 2013. And we wonder why they didn't return. Bursar holds preventing students from registering also have nearly doubled in recent years. As a response, we have redesigned our financial support strategy to address the financial needs of all of our students, providing four-year scholarships where possible. We can no longer provide generous one-year financial packages to attract incoming freshmen and then see students stop out because they cannot afford to stay into their sophomore, junior, and senior years. We have much more to do in both recruitment and retention. Looking ahead, for example, we need to focus on attracting enrollment from a shrinking pool of students from community colleges and transfer students from other four-year institutions. To help us understand and address this challenge, I have appointed a committee to make recommendations on how to break down barriers, enhance communication and recruitment strategies, and also grow collaboration with university college leadership. And I'm so happy that President Dreith is with us today because he and I share a goal of better serving students and their families. We're also expanding our recruitment efforts globally. The Center for International Education has placed greater emphasis on recruitment in China. We are also focused on India, Vietnam, Brazil, and the Middle East. We have attended college fairs, finalized contracts with recruiting agencies and consultants, and fostered relationships with government officials. We will reinvent summer school for 2014. A task force led by Mickey Latour, Dean of the College of Agricultural Science, conducted a thoughtful, thorough review of factors affecting summer enrollment. I've asked this group of faculty and staff to spearhead the implementation of the recommendations. Their report identified three key factors affecting summer enrollment. One is the recession, which forced many students to work during the summer instead of taking classes. Another is a significant drop in the availability of Pell grants and student loan funds. And finally, smaller classes have limited the pool of potential summer school students. So what are we doing about it? Our colleges and departments will more closely align programs and curricula with student progress toward degree completion, as well as with community needs. Specifically, we will identify and add summer courses of the most popular courses, particularly in the core, courses of important prerequisites and that create a larger portfolio of upper-level classes in the summer. We'll provide a summer schedule much earlier to help academic advisors and students plan ahead. We'll expand online and remote course offerings. And we'll move toward an open campus model this summer, which means that we will open the campus to the wider community for youth learner, early start, adult learner, and professional development offerings. Technology is also important in our retention efforts. I believe we should celebrate the role of the innovative new mobile dog initiative that will play on student success and retention. The use of tablets in K-12 education is now fairly widespread nationally, but SIU is one of the first top-tier public research universities to embrace this incredible learning tool. Each new freshman received a Dell tablet during move-in. The technology is fun, of course, and because the tablets come preloaded with e-texts and materials needed for some courses, students and their families saved money on the cost of traditional textbooks. After piloting this program last spring, we became convinced at how much the tablets can facilitate learning. They enable students to be engaged in academics and campus life no matter where they are, and students will learn in a more collaborative, interactive way. I want to thank David Crane and the staff in Information Technology, Carla Berry and her staff in the Center for Teaching Excellence, and Pat Manfredi and the University College team for all the hard work in launching the mobile dog. I also want to thank Mark Amos, the dean of the college, and the faculty for incorporating the tablets into the freshman curricula. We know through numerous studies that engagement is essential to academic success. Many of our students have also told me that the more involved they are on campus, the better they manage their time, and the more they focus on academic responsibilities. We need to do more to advance student engagement at all levels. Last December, I asked a group of students, faculty, and staff, led by Interim Dean Katie Schirmerschein, to explore ways to increase student involvement in campus life. I believe the 22 recommendations crafted by the working group will help, and I appreciate their effort. Their report is available on my website, and I encourage you to read it, because we all have a role to play. I've asked those that created the recommendations to take the lead on their implementation. The role of the university college when it comes to student persistence and graduation cannot be understated. The requirement that all freshmen enroll in the student success course, known as UCall 101, led to positive outcomes in student satisfaction and retention. English and math faculty innovations resulted in significant improvements in student success in gateway courses. Last school year, for the first time, all freshmen were required to enroll in math and English courses. The vast majority enrolled in that critical first semester. Innovations that have been fine-tuned over the last 2 years are now in full implementation. As a result, student success rates in math course increased by 21%. Students also achieved significant gains in English. These efforts are critical to improving our retention rate. We also have taken a major step this year to centralize and expand first-year advising. We've moved our academic advisement to the University College. That means more advisors are more engaged with our students during their first year when they're most vulnerable. In addition, we joined the Educational Advisory Board's Student Success Collaborative Program. SIU is a beta member of the consortium of universities engaged in this effort. Universities that joined earlier than SIU are seeing dramatic increases in retention figures. Rather than relying on anecdotal evidence, this program uses data mining techniques and predictive analytics to project and guide success. In the near future, our advisors will have a much clearer picture of factors contributing to individual student success and help identify and then reduce obstacles to degree completion. Of course, we can't talk about student enrollment, retention, and success without looking at the impact on our budget. So let me take a moment to review our financial outlook. Before I do that, I want to thank Interim Budget Director Judy Marshall and the Chancellor's Planning and Budget Advisory Committee for the expert guidance they have given on all matters budgetary. We're optimistic about this year's budget. The General Assembly restored our operating appropriation to the fiscal year 2013 level, which we appreciate. We have been asked to prepare for a 5% reduction, so level funding was certainly a positive result of the spring legislative session. The right half of the pie chart reflects funds that support our academic programs. It's important to note that the state appropriation provides 47% of those funds. The majority of the remaining 53% is generated by student revenue. While our total operating budget includes our auxiliaries and our self-supporting funds and our research, the right half is really the core of the support for the academic programs. Because we have a larger freshman class, tuition rates may vary between freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, and beyond. It is really difficult at this time to project the exact budget. However, we enacted a modest 3% tuition increase effective this fall, and we'll continue to hold the line on future increases. We're mindful of the impact of the cost of education on today's families, and has been true throughout the history of our university. We're committed to accessibility and affordability. Changes in funding commitment for this year include a 2% across the board salary increase for our employees. As a research university that emphasizes student-centered learning, our priority must be to recruit and retain nationally and internationally recognized faculty. We have a request to the Board of Trustees for that this week. We also have added $1 million in institutional funding for the need-based scholarships that I mentioned before. And general cost increases for items such as utilities and Medicare will also require additional funding. So what does the future hold for our budget? Although several states increased higher education spending this year, and Illinois did not cut our budget, state funding may never return to earlier levels. A small portion of our appropriation is currently based on performance funding factor, and future state of Illinois appropriations may rely more heavily on results such as retention, time to degree, and graduation rates. Nationally, President Obama has announced a performance-based plan intended to increase affordability. The plan may rate colleges based on measures like tuition, graduation rates, student debt, and earnings of graduates. The ratings would help families compare colleges and may be a component of the federal financial aid students will qualify for based on the colleges they attend. It's unclear how the rating will be applied and whether they will be harmful or helpful to SIU. However, they serve as a reminder that as a national university, we work within a larger context. We must pay attention to and be thoughtfully responsive to the national conversation about college cost and quality. It is also broadly understood that the significant increases in tuition that were necessary to decrease, to address the and offset the decreases in state funding cannot be sustained. We're in a competitive environment and we must be strategic about everything we do to realize our full potential as an institution of higher learning and as an economic engine of Southern Illinois. People who live and work in this region count on us every day to be thinking long-term and to be flexible and nimble enough to respond to the changing landscape around us. Another issue on the horizon with budgetary implications is pension reform. While a legislative conference committee continues to review options, we hope the approach recommended by the state's public universities and championed by President Glenn Pichard will be adopted. I'll continue to participate in those discussions, and we will share new information as it becomes available. Federal sequestration is beginning to impact research budgets at the National Institutes of Health, the National Science Foundation, the Department of Energy, and other agencies. Federal student Aid programs such as Work Study have also seen reductions. We must work together to address our financial concerns. We must continue to explore organizational and programmatic change to maximize efficiencies, eliminate redundancies, spend resources wisely, and automate workflow. New sources of revenue are critical. During this fiscal year, for example, distance education will generate about $14 million in revenue. This is an increase of $4.5 million from last year. 70% of the tuition revenue earned through our distance education program is returned to the colleges. This is an excellent example of what we can accomplish by using our creative and intellectual energies to address our challenges. Let's turn now to the second area I want to celebrate today, our academic programs and research. I wish to acknowledge the leadership of Provost John Niccolo, our academic deans, faculty in the departments, and governance groups for their commitment to updating, expanding, and ensuring quality of our academic programs. We have spent a great deal of time over the last year looking at our degree programs, especially those that have struggled with enrollment. In fact, we have eliminated 26 under-enrolled programs. We will continue reviewing opportunities to consolidate programs or create efficiencies. We also are adding new programs to stay competitive. We have reduced the majority of our undergraduate degree program requirements to 120 credit hours while maintaining the highest standards. This reduces time to degree, which in turn reduces student cost, increases student success, and improves our competitiveness in the higher education marketplace. We also anticipate time to graduation to become part of the state's performance-based funding criteria. We remain focused on offering an education that is responsive to students, to society, and to the mandates of the Illinois Board of Higher Education. To achieve this goal, we've added or are in the process of adding more than 15 new academic programs. We also are seeding program development conversations across campus in key strategic areas, including supply chain, entrepreneurship, energy, management, and several professional science master's degrees, both online and face-to-face. We have customized our undergraduate studies option to be an online degree completion that is significant for bringing new adult students back to campus. New academic centers can enhance interdisciplinary efforts on campus as well as outreach off campus. We are establishing a STEM education center in the College of Science to assist colleagues at the high school level who will, in turn, help their students become better prepared for the rigors of the academic experience we offer. We also are planning to create a center for fermentation science with the long-term goal of offering academic degree programs. This will lead to increased enrollment and enhanced relationships with businesses in our region and beyond. It will also take advantage of the growing trend in Southern Illinois startup vineyards, microbreweries, and distilleries. A new administrative structure will better support and enhance graduate education and our research enterprise. During the summer, Professor Susan Ford, Associate Dean and Director of the Graduate School, also assumed the duties of Interim Dean. This Thursday, we will ask the SIU Board of Trustees to approve the appointment of Dr. James Garvey as Interim Vice Chancellor for Research. Jim is a professor of zoology and director of the Center for Fisheries, Aquaculture, and Aquatic Sciences. Over the course of the academic year, with the expert guidance of these two individuals and key governance groups, we will anticipate significant improvements in the operations of the Office of Sponsored Projects and Administration and the Graduate School, and in our research support structures. During the spring semester, we'll conduct an evaluation of the interim structure. I anticipate we will then launch a national search or searches depending on the outcome of the evaluation in the fall of 2014. Supporting and enhancing research, scholarship, and creative activities is a key imperative for SIU. Research, broadly defined, is core to our status as a public research university and must be part of all of our strategic decisions. It is all of our responsibility because it defines who we are. As such, growing our funded research is essential. Our grants and contracts in the last fiscal year totaled $61.5 million. We have 18 inventions disclosed, 15 U.S. patent applications filed, and 4 patents issued. Sequestration had some effect on last year's results, and unless Congress takes action, the effect in future years will be greater. In addition, some federal programs made competitive grant processes more restrictive. All of this means that we face increased competition for shrinking funds. President Pichard and I have joined with other chancellors and presidents in urging Congress to increase funding for research. We're determined to stay competitive. We have a talented pool of faculty scholars who are crossing disciplines to keep us competitive in research and in creative activities. There is a greater need globally for interdisciplinary knowledge, and we are prepared to meet that need. Over the past year, the campus has engaged in discussions about forming larger interdisciplinary teams of researchers to advance funding proposals and to connect to new academic programs. This fall, I've asked Jim Garvey, as incoming interim vice chancellor for research, to form a research advisory group to enhance discussions on how to achieve significant gains from interdisciplinary and multidisciplinary research. Even as we continue to organize and to seek funding for our research, we cannot lose sight of the incredible work of our scholars and researchers. Our faculty and research scientists are tireless in their pursuit of solutions to issues that touch us all, from cancer, hearing loss, and Alzheimer's disease, to energy and the environment, to braking systems for vehicles, including aircrafts, to mitigating such natural disasters as flooding. Our experts are enhancing safety for the mining industry, improving the effectiveness of MRIs as a diagnostic tool, and helping Afghan farmers learn agricultural practices that will sustain the war-torn country. Our scholarly and creative works earn well-deserved honors and international recognition as they enhance our quality of life. And we are ensuring that our students can share in the excitement of research. A new Center for Undergraduate Research and in Creative Activities will consolidate and raise the profile of campus efforts to engage undergraduates in research. With Director Rodrigo Carmignana's leadership, the center will facilitate collaboration across departments to better serve a larger number of students and connect them to our talented faculty. We take great pride in the Research University High Activity designation from the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching. The classification tells the world this is an institution dedicated to providing solutions to our most pressing issues and to training the next generation of researchers and scholars. It helps us attract and retain talented faculty and students. We are now pursuing another prestigious designation from the Carnegie Foundation, that being a community engaged university. We know that service has been a priority at this university since its founding. Many members of the campus community are active in the broader community, serving on boards and commissions and in many organizations. We also have been discussing a broader partnership specific to downtown Carbondale revitalization. I strongly believe we have a responsibility to the region and we have an imperative to enhance our level of engagement economically and culturally. As we celebrate the role of our faculty and staff in improving our communities, we also celebrate the contributions of our students. Through service learning courses and volunteer activities, we are meeting key community needs while enhancing our students' education through applied learning experiences. Over the past year, our students contributed 34,000 hours of service to the community. In recognition of our significant activities, SIU was selected as one of only 50 colleges and universities nationwide as a lead institution for the Civic and Democratic Learning Initiative. The Center for Service Learning and Volunteerism does an outstanding job coordinating these many efforts. Seeking the Carnegie Foundation's Community Engaged University designation is no small task. Associate Provost Jim Allen is leading a 12-member committee charged with completing the 150-page application, which must be submitted by next April. Dr. Allen expects to share the draft of the application with the campus right after winter break. Economic development is a cornerstone of our outreach efforts. We have a responsibility to our friends and neighbors throughout the region to help business and industry grow and create job opportunities. Last year, the Office of Economic and Regional Development, part of the Southern Illinois Research Park, assisted 38 businesses in securing more than $29 million in financing to open or expand. These efforts resulted in the creation or retention of more than 800 jobs. Altogether, the office worked with 654 clients throughout the region. New to the Research Park is One Innovation Place. This is the first public-private partnership facility on our campus, and its four tenants bring the number of firms in the Research Park to 25. The Research Park, in collaboration with several academic departments, also received funding to establish a student innovation incubator. Five students are taking advantage of the facilities today, and we expect that number to grow as the semester continues. Our Research Park experts also are working with high schools to establish an entrepreneurship curriculum for students. The Student Innovation Incubator offers a supportive environment for students to learn, explore, create, and manage their business passions, which in turn will lead to job creation. In July of 2012, the Southern Illinois Research Park returned to the campus, and with the appointment of Dennis Craddett as Chancellor's Deputy for Economic Development and Kyle Harsh as Executive Director of the Research Park, we've seen tremendous improvements in our efforts to integrate community engagement, economic development, entrepreneurship, and innovation throughout the campus. We cannot do great research, offer our students a stellar academic experience, and do our daily work effectively without the third point today, and that's adequate facilities. Here again, we have much to celebrate and much to do. I appreciate the leadership of Vice Chancellor Kevin Boehm and the tremendous effort of Phil Gatton and everyone in plant and service operations. People from throughout the community, visitors and returning alumni are remarking to me at how wonderful the campus looks. Many of our closest supporters tell me the campus hasn't looked this beautiful in years. Over the past year, we have addressed more than $14 million in deferred maintenance and infrastructure needs. We have identified another $30 million of high-priority deferred maintenance projects that will be debt-financed. Clearly, the improvements to the campus are an important part of the recruitment of academically talented students. Creating quality learning and living environments is also important to ensuring student success and graduation. We need our campus to be welcoming and look great. Creating a sense of place and state-of-the-art learning spaces must be a priority. I think we've made huge progress. Let me take you on a quick tour of some of our improvements. Our most visible project, the Student Services Building, is nearing completion. The grand opening will take place homecoming weekend. This will be a great front door for our campus, and it will enhance the services we provide to students and their families by housing 19 departments and a single triage desk designed to fix student problems in one stop. Once we move to the Student Services Building, we'll be able to renovate and repurpose Woody Hall. We expect the renovations there to take approximately 18 months. Say goodbye to the Woody Shuffle. That's a good one. I also hope you're taking advantage of the Student Services Pedestrian Mall. Combined with the Fader Pedestrian Mall, we'll have an inviting area for you and campus guests to gather and relax. Following the recommendations of the Campus Life and Safety Task Force led by Todd Sigler, Rosemary Simmon, and Joe Schaefer, we're taking additional steps to keep you and our visitors safe. We continue to add dozens of video cameras, bringing the total to more than 400 across the campus. Improved safety through enhanced lighting in the new pedestrian malls has been a priority, as has the improved coordination among staff and the newly revised student conduct code. We're enhancing the campus-wide emergency alert system by adding 8 sirens that also have the capacity of broadcasting pre-recorded or live messages. And we're focused more attention on the safety and security of the East Campus housing area, which has historically presented challenges because of the physical layout. Steps taken include enhancing the front desk procedures, implementing new software to track entries by residents and guests, and increasing the presence of campus police officers. We also have extended the hours of the night transit services. I soon will announce the appointment of our next director of the Department of Public Safety. That individual will replace Todd Sigler, who is retiring October 15th, after an amazing 30 years of service to SIU. Started with the department as a member of the Saluki Patrol in 1983 and became an officer in 1985. Todd, you'll be missed. Can you please stand and let us give you another round of applause for your outstanding leadership and dedication. Construction on the 6th and 7th floor of Morris Library may not be as evident as the Student Services building construction, believe me, things are happening up there as well. That work will be completed in time for spring semester. The floors will feature collaborative seating, book stacks, 8 flexible classrooms, 2 math labs, the testing lab, and learning support services. Physical renovations for the new School of Art and Design and School of Social Work spaces are 30% complete. Replacement of the roof and window systems will begin this fall, with completion of that project projected for fall 2014. These renovations will house 2 of our internationally ranked programs, and for the first time in many, many years, the faculty, staff, and students will perform their important work in state-of-the-art spaces. We are renovating 61 general-purpose classrooms, 6 teaching labs, and 4 research labs. When the work is completed, 92% of our classrooms will be technology-enabled. Planning and design is also underway at McLafferty Annex. Our plans are to turn that annex, which is now an empty building, into a flexible state-of-the-art laboratory facility to enhance and expand interdisciplinary research efforts. That project is scheduled to begin next spring, with completion in May of 2015. The Student Rec Center is replacing HVAC systems, lighting, and roofs. Last March, we dedicated the latest addition to our athletic facility, the Lou Herzog Track and Field Complex, and the Connie Price Smith Throws Area. That's Lou speaking at the dedication ceremony on the screen. We could take great pride in this facility. And as also will be the case next spring, we can dedicate the renovated Abe Martin Field at Richard Itchy Jones Stadium. It will feature a new seating bowl, press box, and dugouts, as well as the addition of stadium lights, a synthetic grass playing surface, and a security fence around the facility. I'm told the hill stays. The clubhouse, that's good. The clubhouse will be named also to honor the late coach, Dan Callahan. The state of Illinois recently released planning funds for the addition and renovation of the communications building, which is estimated at $76 million. The demolition of the Triad residence halls was completed last year to make way for the redevelopment of the East Campus housing area. Construction of the first two residence halls is planned to begin May of 2014, and we expect to open them for 2016 academic year. Over the next 3 years, we will continue to address many needs on our campus. We anticipate investing an additional $3 million in classroom and laboratory upgrades in various buildings starting in May of 2014. Less obvious, but absolutely critical, is also much of what we do is behind the scenes, and that's the work of the information technology. Chief Information Officer David Crane and his staff have been incredibly busy. Here are some of the highlights from the past year. As of this semester, all student information systems hardware has been replaced. The campus internet bandwidth has been significantly increased. It's 6 times greater per second than it was just 3 years ago. And bandwidth per user in the residence halls is now 2.5 times greater. We have expanded the campus wireless and guest networks to classrooms, residence halls, common areas, the library, the student center, Dunn Richmond, and the rec center, with more to come. Many of you have tried out our SIU outdoor and SIU indoor options. When our Wi-Fi build-out is complete, we'll have easy wireless connection for faculty, staff, and students, and guests throughout the campus. We've developed a 5-year plan to upgrade desktops and computer labs. A predictable funding model has been developed that replaces multiple charges for individual services. Upgrades will also be funded through savings generated from consolidating our purchases and reworking support contracts. Upgrades to the data center have been completed, and we now have a secondary data center for disaster recovery purposes. The Saluki Tech computer store is now open in the Cambria room in the Student Center. It's definitely worth a visit. In sum, increased bandwidth, the right tools, improved facilities, and a more attractive campus support our ability to attract and retain students, faculty, and staff. They also enhance our effectiveness as we study, teach, and work at SIU. We've much to be proud of. In fact, we've had an amazing year overall. Your achievements and passion inspire my confidence about the future of our great university. As Henry Ford once said, and I quote, "Coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success." The signals of our success are too numerous to describe fully. But let me close by sharing with you just a few of them that touch on the areas we've talked about today. For the second consecutive year, SIU ranked among the top 100 public universities according to U.S. News and World Report. The magazine includes SIU in Tier 1 of national universities. The Princeton Review named SIU one of the best universities in the Midwest in its 2014 listings. We also again earned recognition as one of the green colleges. For the 6th year in a row, we have earned a spot on the 2013 President's Higher Education Community Service Honor Roll from the Corporation for National and Community Service. Our debate team earned 2 national championships in the space of 1 week. SIU now is one of only 6 universities ever to win both national titles in a single year. Our Flying Salukis finished third in the national championship competition last spring. The College of Engineering's Moon Buggy team won the prestigious Neil Armstrong Best Design Team Award at the Nassau Great Moon Buggy Race. The students produced alternative TV news magazine Alt News 2646, won yet another college television award for best magazine program in the nation for the sixth time in the program's 14-year history. And last November, we received the inaugural Higher Education Excellence and Diversity Award from Insight into Diversity magazine, the oldest and largest diversity-focused publication in higher education. And while there won't be a formal announcement until later this fall, I am pleased to tell you that our university has achieved that honor for a second consecutive year. I don't have to tell you that this is wonderful recognition for our efforts. It emphasizes that the message is inclusive excellence. We achieve it by recognizing and celebrating our differences. This award says we are making progress and encourages us to expand our efforts. We will do that this fall with the establishment of a Women's Resource Center within the Center for Inclusive Excellence. This is something that has been requested for some time, and this new center will ensure that we have a positive climate for women and will develop and implement programs that address women's issues and gender-related concerns. This picture shows the $1.2 million Saluki Student Investment Fund activity managed by undergraduate business majors. They again had higher returns than most professionally managed funds. In fact, our Saluki fund has consistently outperformed 90% of professional managers over the most recent 3, 5, 7, and 10-year horizons. That success was part of the reason the SIU Foundation decided to create a similar graduate student investment fund, offering the same hands-on training to MBA students. So thank you. The volleyball team earned the American Volleyball Coaches Association's Team Academic Award for the eighth consecutive season. In fact, the overall GPA for our student athletes last academic year was 3.076, and student athletes achieved a 19% higher four-year average graduation rate than the general student body. SIU has great faculty, so in many ways so difficult to list their accomplishments. But the quality of the faculty defines an institution. It's the quality of the faculty that attracts students from all over the world to study at SIU. The accomplishments of our faculty may be too numerous to mention here by name, but I hope to highlight just a few examples from recent weeks. Beverly Love, assistant professor in the Department of Radio, Television, and Digital Media, received the prestigious California Casualty Award for Teaching Excellence. Professor Nicholas Pinter and other members of our geology department led the successful effort to secure a $9 million federal award to acquire and demolish 167 flood-prone homes and businesses of Olive Branch in Alexander County, moving these homes to higher, less flood-prone areas. And Najjar Abdul Moser Weir, I hope I got that right, associate professor of fine arts, was the featured artist for the 24th annual African Festival of the Arts Labor Day weekend celebration in Chicago. This is a significant honor as the event attracts more than 200,000 people each year. SIU received approval from the U.S. Department of Education for a five-year continuation of our McNair Scholars Program, which prepares underrepresented students to pursue graduate degrees. Only 40% of the applicants were approved. That says a lot about SIU. The magazine Pre-Law ranked the SIU School of Law 19th on a list of top schools for externships. The School of Medicine ranked 13th out of 161 institutions nationwide in the graduate level training of primary care physicians, according to a new study published in Academic Medicine. And an independent review by the National Council on Teacher Quality ranks our teacher education program in the top 9% of elementary and secondary programs in the nation. Last but not least, we should celebrate the completion of our strategic plan, Pathways to Excellence, a major accomplishment. The plan reflects the collective efforts of faculty, staff, students, alumni, donors, and community members. Many of you offered valuable input that helped to guide the development of the strategic plan. Pathways to Excellence identifies the mission and values that we share, and it is the blueprint that will guide us over the next decade. The next step is development of metrics so that we can measure our progress. So today I encourage you to look with pride at our many accomplishments. We have a plan in place. We've launched new strategies to recruit and retain students, strategies that are already moving us forward. We have strong academic programs and world-focused research initiatives. And we're working to ensure that we continue to reflect our profile and stature as a national research university. Our faculty and staff continue to demonstrate every day our promise that you can come to SIU and receive an outstanding education and the opportunity to engage in research that will make a difference at the same time that you receive exceptional personal attention. As we look forward, we know we still have much work to do, but we build upon a solid foundation. We will continue to focus on both student recruitment and retention, supported by strong marketing and branding strategies that convey the positive story that we have to tell. We will continue to focus on ways to strengthen and enhance our academic programs. We will recruit exceptional men and women to our faculty and retain our current innovative teachers and outstanding researchers. We will continue paying close attention to our campus climate to ensure that we remain welcoming and supportive of all of our students, faculty, and staff. We will continue to invest in our campus so that our students and faculty are learning and working in state-of-the-art facilities using the latest technologies. We will continue to make wise use of our resources on behalf of our students and our research mission, even as we look for alternative sources of revenue to minimize the costs to students and families. Let me mention just one example. Development and alumni relations played a key role in helping to reorganize the annual Chancellor Scholarship Golf Outing, which we held last Friday. The result was $70,000 in new contributions to the Chancellor's Scholars Award. Thank you so much to the Division of Development and Alumni Relations. Our efforts to raise private funds will continue to grow. To that end, I'm very pleased to announce that with the expert guidance of Vice Chancellor Jim Salmo and his staff, we're in the planning stages of a comprehensive campaign, the second in SIU history to launch in the next few years. A successful campaign requires that we have a powerful story to tell, friends who believe in our work, and the commitment of the campus community to advancing the university so that we can fulfill the mission and reach our goals. I believe we have all three of these in place: a compelling story, people who care about our success, and you, our faculty, staff, and students, and community members who are committed to ensuring that we have a bright future. You give me confidence that we will be successful in our campaign and in all we do together to continue to shape SIU. Let me end with a story. Shahan Balami, who is a Marion High School graduate is a senior majoring in cinema and photography. He didn't start out as a Saluki. He began his college career at Bradley University. But he learned it did not have a cinema department. He had heard great things about our cinema department, and he knew members of his family had great experiences at SIU. He told me he was nervous about transferring from a private university to a much smaller environment. And Bradley versus SIU with its large student body was a bit daunting. But here's what Shahan found, and I quote, "SIU has exceeded my expectations. And growing up here, I thought I knew the university. I was worried about it because it's a big university. But it is because of that size and the resources here that I have had so many opportunities," end quote. This is just one of the many stories I hear every day that indicate that we are fulfilling our promise to provide the education of a large research university with the heart of a small college. And it's all thanks to you. You demonstrate every day that you can come to SIU and think big, because big things are always within reach. For all your work bringing us this far, and for all you do every day, and for all you're going to do, I ask that you once again congratulate yourselves. Thank you very much.